A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "I assure you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. I repeat what I said. It is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were completely overwhelmed and exclaimed, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For man, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Then it was Peter's turn to say to him, "Here we have put everything aside to follow you. What can we expect from it?" Jesus said to them, "I give you my solemn word. In the new age when the Son of Man takes a seat upon a throne befitting his glory, you who have followed me shall likewise take your places on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Moreover, everyone who has given up home, brothers or sisters, father or mother, wife or children, or property for my sake will receive many times as much and inherit everlasting life. Many are first shall come last, and the last shall come first." The Gospel of the Lord. In our culture, the term baggage has come to mean more than just the idea of a suitcase. Carrying baggage often refers to holding on to grudges from the past or not letting go of hurt that others have done to us. Sometimes it is anger or maybe even the clutter of material goods. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Over the years, people have heard it said that the needle was a narrow gate entering the city of Jerusalem, and that Jesus was referring to the fact that people needed to let go of their baggage to enter God's kingdom, much as a camel had to be unloaded to fit through the needle gate. However, Jerome's biblical commentary says that it was not a reference to a gate, but that Jesus was using this image to point out a paradox and to stress that nothing is impossible with God. In popular Jewish belief, wealth was bestowed by God on the righteous. Now that's a paradox. Jesus is telling them now, no, wealth is not a gift to the righteous, but could even prevent you from entering heaven. Jesus knew that wealth can cause a strain in our relationship with God. The more wealth we have, the harder it is to trust in God to provide for us. We have the security of our wealth to see us through famine and difficult times. Wealth can become a god to us. We don't have to be like the lilies of the field who neither toil or spin, but trust in God for their sustenance and actual existence. We have wealth to provide for us. That is why Jesus warns against riches, but yet still gives us hope by saying, "For God, all things are possible." Yes, even the ability to renounce riches can occur with God's help. This gospel reading follows the story of the rich young man who went away sad when Jesus told him if he wanted to be perfect, he had to give away all he had to follow Jesus. But the rich young man couldn't quite take that final step. Upon reflection, we probably shouldn't be so hard on the rich young man. In Jewish life, he is probably his father's heir, and giving up his wealth would affect not only him, but his whole family and their place in Jewish society. And yet Jesus says, with God, all things are possible, even the ability to renounce riches. Yet what does that mean for those of us who don't have riches? Do we point our finger at the rich and say, "Aha, you are all in big trouble, but not me"? Not so fast. Love of wealth is a state of mind. If a poor person pursues wealth to the exclusion of all else and worries constantly where money will come from, are they not putting material goods before God? I'm not saying that a person with real poverty loves wealth more when they are simply concerned about the necessities of life. Every human being deserves to have food on the table and shelter and clothing and the opportunity to better themselves and improve their lifestyle. But how we go about it can make the difference between praising God or seeking wealth for wealth's sake. This is something I personally struggle with. As a teacher, I have never made a big salary, and before my husband retired from the phone company, His salary wasn't large either. And pretty much we lived from paycheck to paycheck. Even though we did, there was money for extras. We took our children on vacations. They had opportunities like music lessons, karate, and dance lessons. At the end of 2 weeks before the next paycheck was deposited and the account balance slowly dwindled down, I found myself having anxiety. If I could only trust in the Lord and not worry so much about the material goods. Instead of worrying, I needed to spend more time in praise of God, who gave me the gift of a steady job and good health. The attitude of gratitude can make such a difference in the way we view our material goods or wealth. With God's help, it is possible to let go of our desires for more than we need, and to trust that by loving Him and putting Him first, we will have all that we need. Today's gospel ends by telling us the first will be last and the last will be first. God's way is different from the ways of the world. While the world may revere those who have wealth and fame, God wants us to have the real wealth that comes from putting our relationship with God first and putting aside those things that get in the way of loving Him. If we can do that, there is no problem with a camel going through the eye of a needle.